Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Winding down here, thetrainsouth.com, WWL Draft Cup Fast coverage. Steve Geller along with Deuce McAllister, Mike D'Attelier, Mike Hawes on our wall-to-wall coverage of the Saints and the NFL Draft. We're at Hooters on Vets in Metairie with food, wings, and cold beer. And those $5 margaritas, tickety-tock, till 11 o'clock. We just saw coming off the board, guys, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers making their selection was Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver out of Washington. Also Baltimore taking defensive edge from Penn State, Adesia Isaac.
Yeah, Adesia Isaac. He was the guy opposite Chop Robinson. He was the more productive guy, to be honest with you, than what Chop was. Really great athlete. Guy who's got a super quick initial burst. He's bigger than Chop. Really is. Now, Chop's the athlete. I mean, but so is Adesia. He was a really good player for Penn State up front. That front defensive line for Penn State was really, really tough. And they got some pressure. And a lot of it came from Isaac. Not necessarily because I think teams were trying to scheme up to block Chop Robinson. And Adesia took full advantage of it. 7.5 sacks last year for the Nittany Lions.
Looking at the Saints haul so far, guys. Round one yesterday, offensive tackle from Oregon State, Talisi Fuaga. And then today with the ninth selection in the second round, the Saints moving up there, getting cornerback out of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Currently what they have left on the board, 3 fifth-round picks, the 15th, 35th, and 40th pick in round five, and a sixth-rounder and seventh-rounder tomorrow. Still waiting to see if they make one late move this evening to get into the third round. But I think, like you guys said, a fourth-round up is a lot more likely.
I would wait till round four, unless there's somebody that I would really like. Because the value to get in the fourth round is less than trying to get into the third.
Yeah, it drops pretty much. Yeah. If you're looking at, you know, just the draft value chart, pick is in.
I was going to say, we seem to be talking about Philly. Here they are again on the clock.
Man, I'm in a damn picks the Eagles. Let's see. Boy, Howie.
Let me look at their team.
We'll see what they're doing there in Philadelphia. I would think, you know, we talked about offensive line could be a need here.
I saw him play. Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian.
All right, so an edge.
An edge guy who's sort of a stand-up guy, can also put his hand in the dirt, but guy lightly recruited, but you can see his pass rush skills. 6.5 sacks last year, 9 tackles for losses, and man, can he run the field. And man, you think about Houston Christian.
I was going to say the same thing.
Houston Christian.
Houston Christian.
And he's a top 100 pick, really good athlete. And Steve, I'm not saying he's going to take Hassan Reddick's place, but there's an opening.
Right. Well, Mike, and that's exactly what I was going to add. You know, does he have that type of explosiveness? Does he have that type of burst?
We fixing to find out.
Got the length.
He was
he's
dominant.
Bigger than that. I mean, yeah. Hassan Reddick wasn't that big.
No. Hunt dominated the competition. Now he's going in the NFL.
A little bit different.
Yeah, totally, totally different. But I do know some teams that did a lot of double, triple checking on Hunt. Just because, again, the small college guy, can he adjust and how quickly he can adjust? Well, one thing I know he can do, and that's rush the quarterback.
Mike, I got another question for you, and it goes back to really about Penn State. We have seen numerous players get picked in the top three rounds from Penn State. But have they been able to show up as a program on a national level yet?
In big games, hell no.
What's the problem?
I think it's coaching,
right? Coaching.
Okay, Ohio State, Michigan.
I don't think they beat either one of them yet.
Either one. Okay.
Since Franklin has been there, I don't think they've beat either one of them yet.
Who they played in the bowl game?
They lost to Ole Miss.
Well, I knew you were going to do that.
But, I mean, defensively now, true enough, you didn't have some of the studs and you didn't have that left tackle.
You didn't have Chop.
Yeah, you didn't have the left tackle. Yeah, you didn't have the left tackle. I mean, and they got after him pretty good. But, I mean, as many players as you have seen drafted by them, it's like, man, your record or you're at least – you should be winning some of the bigger games, and they're not.
And here's my thing. It don't get no easier now. You know why? Those teams out on the West Coast, USC, Oregon, Washington, we going to the Big Ten. I want to see how that resonates with this team because now the Big Ten's going to be a lot tougher if you got a schedule and that's sort of loaded. That you got to play in Ohio State, Michigan, but also you got to play a USC in Oregon or Washington.
You might leave Wednesday night to get there, but you got to go.
That's a nice trip in November. I know that. It's a lot better than Pennsylvania in November if you got to play USC in California in November. Oh, I'll take that any day of the week. Oregon, Washington at night, that's a different story.
We're down to the final five picks for day two of the NFL draft here in round three. We're going to be closing things out pretty soon. We're going to take a break. Step away on the trainsouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. Be back with more from Hooters on Vets on here on WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expert date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
TrainSouth.com, WWL Draft Fresh coverage here at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Come on out to join Team WWL. A little bit of time left till 11 o'clock. Those $5 margaritas calling somebody's name out there, I guarantee it. Just a couple picks left in this draft. And, guys, we just saw Jarian Jones from Florida State, the cornerback, going to the Jacksonville Jaguars with the 96th overall selection.
Mississippi guy.
Yeah, Mississippi guy right there at Central Mississippi, Northwest Rankin. Jarian Jackson played, I think, at Mississippi State as well. Really good player, too. I know a couple of people that were pulling for him, and he's a good athlete. I think it was Woodson, Marcus Woodson was the guy that recruited him down to Florida State. He was the defensive back coach down there at Florida State. He's got good ball skills. He's probably a returner as well. I don't know if he can return in the league, but he's done it in the past, and so that's a good pick for him. Jacksonville is not far from for his family to be able to come and check him out as well.
Seen on the breakdown here, he primarily lined up over the slot in 2023, but he has experience also playing outside.
Yeah, he can play outside.
Yeah, but he's last year he was really a slot guy for Florida State, but I say like Deuce, he did play out on the edge. But he looks much more comfortable inside in the slot. And the Bengals have just picked McKinley Jackson, one of the most highly rated defensive linemen, and it goes to Texas A&M.
Another Mississippi guy.
Sure enough.
McKinley is from Loosedale, Mississippi.
Yep.
He was a five-star at one point. McKinley was the number one player in the country.
Yep.
This was one that Coach O would have to tell you about. I mean, that's
how far. Oh, he got a couple, three stories about McKinley.
That's what I'm telling you. That's how far this kid's been on the radar. He's been on the radar since he was in eighth grade. And they were like, Deuce, this is the next one. This is the next one. And the only thing about McKinley, he was so talented, he got lazy. McKinley was a kid, if he could have came out after my senior year in high school, it would have made a world of a difference for him. But he is a tremendous, when he's motivated, a tremendous athlete. I'm talking about has some get off and is strong. That's a pretty good place for him up there in Cincinnati. Not close to Mississippi, but they can still get up there to him. I wonder about his circle, and that's why I say it. The circle, if he can shed some of that heavy weight that kind of runs with him a little bit, it'll help him out. A pretty good amount, but he's a tremendously, immensely talented
when
kid.
When he was in high school, people were comparing him to Chris Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Chris Jones.
Think of that.
Chris Jones that has dominated in the Super Bowl the last couple of years. That Chris Jones, that defensive lineman.
He was that talented. He could have went anywhere in the country.
Yep.
Anywhere. If he wasn't one of the top three players on every recruiting list, I don't know who was. And he may have been number one at one time.
He was number one.
On all three.
He was number one.
He must carry his weight. Amazing. He's only 6'1", maybe 6'1 and a half.
Mike, he is cat quick.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And he's 326.
You can line him up.
6'1". That's amazing.
You can line him up at fullback, and you would say, wait, this kid looks like he can play fullback.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he is a three-technique defensive guy.
Yes.
And at A&M, they did put him at the nose a little bit, you know, when they went bare front. But he's a three technique in the league. He is cat quick, and like I said, when he's motivated and he wants to do it, he got to go.
Is Katie bar the door? Because that was stretches at A&M where he was dominant, and then there were some games he was like I Dream of Jeannie.
I mean, poof, gone.
You didn't see him, but man, he could play. And I do remember the recruitment when he came out. Everybody was after him. He was that good of a player. And the comp was he's a shorter version of Chris Jones.
Man, seeing some of the highlights from a Zoom call with NFL Network's Brian Baldinger with some of the Saints media talking about draft picks. On Fuaga, he's saying that, according to Baldinger, has more power than Joe Alt. And also said that Fuaga has anvils for hands and brings the Polynesian power. I know Saints fans will love to hear that.
Yeah, because you watch Joe Alt, and I've got to see him for a long time. Joe is more of a leverage angle blocker. Okay, he's 6'7" and a half, And he just sort of steers you wherever he wants you to go. He's not necessarily a power player like Fuaga is. He's a different guy, totally. But I do agree with Brian. He's more of a power player than Joe. But as a technician, and the size of Joel is that he sort of blocks the sun out on you. And man, he catches you and just steers you. Now, the vision for Joe, according to Harbaugh, is to put him on the right side, which is interesting because he's always either played tight end or left tackle. So now Harbaugh's vision is we're going to keep Rashawn Slater on the left and we're going to move Joe to the right. He's never been the power guy, but the only thing I know about it is the guy that he goes up against, he don't make no plays. None. Joe Walt don't give up anything.
We got three picks left here in round three. Stick around for more of the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. We are live from Hooters on Vets in Metairie. We'll be right back with more right here on WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bam, bam, bam. Wrapping up the last three picks, we had NC State linebacker Peyton Willis going to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 98th overall. Then it was Cameron Kitchens going to the Rams. That was the safety out of Miami. And then the last pick of round three, wide receiver out of Rice, Luke McCaffrey going to the Washington Commanders. And we're getting word that we'll be getting Saints head coach Dennis Allen very soon.
Man, Luke McCaffrey, his brother is a pain in the yuck to bait to the Saints. Christian McCaffrey. Not so much as a runner, but as a receiver. And Luke, you know, he started out, he was a quarterback. And he ends up being a receiver, got really good. It reminds me a lot of his dad, Ed McCaffrey. He's got that size. He can catch the football well. He's got a little bit of scoot after the catch. But he maneuvers his way around traffic real well. I saw the Steelers pick Peyton Wilson, too. Had Peyton not had two knee injuries and a shoulder surgery, we'd be talking about a first-round pick. The medicals killed him. He was the Bednarik and Butkus Award winner last year. Look at the numbers he put up at NC State. But how long will he last in the NFL? That's why he lasted round three. That's a great pick.
Or are you talking about Wilson?
Yeah, Peyton Wilson.
We got Dennis Allen coming to the mic here, speaking after day two of the NFL draft right here on WWL Saints Radio.
You won a whole round. How'd that go?
Yeah, it was kind of quiet. Not a lot going on. We couldn't help ourselves early on, though. You know, we had to move up and go get somebody. So, look, I feel really good about getting Kool-Aid. I think he's, you know, I think he's a really good player. Highly intelligent, highly instinctual in terms of a player. Has shown the ability to play press coverage, can play outside. We feel like he can go inside and play inside the nickel. So there's some versatility with that he can play with. We really liked the player and felt like, you know, getting him at that value was the right place to get him.
Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is, I mean, it's related to
you having
quarterback Marshon Lattimore's status.
You can never have enough good corners in this league. And with the amount of man-to-man snaps that we play, it's a valuable position. And look, we've had to have our third or fourth corner play a ton of snaps for us the last couple of years. And I think the corner position has been one of the things that's been one of our better positions. It's allowed us to play defense the way that we like to play. So, look, I went into this draft thinking, you know, I'd love to get a corner, you know, to add some depth. We lost, you know, Ike last year and through free agency. So, you know, I felt like it was a place that we wanted to try to see if we could find somebody. Again, we weren't going to force anything, but, you know, there's a couple of players that were still on the board at the start of the second round that we had targets on that, you know, if the value was right, you know, we were looking to trade up, and Kool-Aid was certainly one of those players.
D.A., do you feel like, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but he was rated pretty high. Do you feel like he got first round value in the second round?
Well, look, it depends on who you ask, I guess. You know, we feel like where we got this player, we thought it was really good value for us. I thought there was a chance that he could go in the first round, and certainly when he was sitting there, you know, to start the second round, and you're kind of watching it, you know, the way the draft was going, you know, I felt like kind of the top half of that second round, you started to see some defensive tackles going off the board. You saw some corners going off the board, you know. So early on in that, you know, you just saw it was, you know, yesterday seemed like there was a lot of offensive guys obviously going off early in the draft, and I think the first part of the second round, there was a little bit more, you know, defensive players going off.
He played more on the outside, obviously. What are the traits that you see that make you think that he could be possibly a slot guy if needed?
Well, look, you know, I think when you watch him play and you talk to the staff there, you know, you see a highly intelligent and a highly instinctive football player. You see a guy that has the ability to fit in the run game and play physically, and so when you have somebody that's got the skill set, the coverage skills like he does on the outside, and then you combine that with the instincts and the intelligence, and you see the willingness in the run game and the physicality. You know, that makes me think that he can play inside, even though and I think Coach Saban would say he could play inside.
Do you think you'll start him in camp at inside or probably outside first?
He'll play both. He'll train at both, you know. So, you know, when we kind of look at these nickel positions, you know, you know, I kind of look at it as, hey, look, he's an outside corner that slides inside and plays, you know, in the nickel. You kind of got to give him a home. And so I think from a corner's perspective, you kind of always got to look at him as starting outside and then moving inside.
I haven't watched a ton of him yet, but the first couple of scouting reports I said, both said something to the effect of he's a lot more he's not – super aggressive in attacking. He's more like controlled and almost it like plays it intelligent instead of gambling kind of. I mean, does that sound accurate? And is there something to style that you see?
Well, so he's generally, he plays a ton of press man. And so, you know, when you think of attacking or whatever, you kind of think of the guy that's going to sit off, eyes on the quarterback, jump a route, those types of things. Well, he's not in those positions very often because more times than not, he's up in press coverage. And there's a lot of times he's playing, you know, ultimately with his back to the ball. But there again, there's another aspect that I like in that, you know, there's not a lot of panic in his game down the field. And he can play the ball, you know, with his back to the ball and the ball above his head. I mean, I think those are things that he does well.
Yeah. How do you see that kind of composure play out in his game?
Well, look, I mean, I'm not sure I totally understand the question. I mean, he's a really smooth athlete. He doesn't panic. You know, he's got confidence in himself and in his ball skills to be able to play the football. And so there's a return value to this player. It's something that he has done. So there's just a lot of things that I think he does really well. I think he's just a really good football player. And, you know, he's a tool that I think we'll be able to utilize in a lot of different ways.
Dennis, was quarterback a position you guys were targeting, or was he just a guy that you really liked?
Yeah, well, look, I think we go into most drafts looking to, you know, see if we can add a corner. I don't think you can ever have too many of those guys. As I was saying a little bit earlier, like, look, our third and fourth corners, fourth and fifth corners really have played a lot of snaps for us the last couple of years. And the way that we play, you know, it's a valuable position to us. It's something that we really that we value a lot. And so, but yet I didn't feel like we needed to force a pick. But I felt like there was a player there that that we really liked, that I wasn't sure was going to be there. And as he kept kind of sliding down the board a little bit, we had enough ammunition to go get him.
At what point did he become realistic? Like, at what point did you really start saying, let's go get him? Was it 35, 37? 38?
Yeah, I think, look, for the value, I don't remember the exact number, but I think that number was probably somewhere around 36, 38, somewhere in there, where we felt like, okay, we got a chance maybe to, you know, try to move up. I mean, I think we had contact with, you know, a handful of teams, and you know, we were finally able to make a deal that made sense, and we were able to go up and get him.
Did the run on receivers influence that at all too?
I think at that point in time, there was a few defensive players that we had better grades on than some of the receivers that were available.
Dennis, you got, guys are always going to fall. What positions have depth on the third day tomorrow?
That's a good question. It seems to me like, you know, when you think, you know, offensively, you know, they've hit those positions. At one point, I had counted, you know, 15 offensive tackles and 15 wide receivers that have, you know, gone. And typically there's probably somewhere around 20 to 25 that go total in the draft in those positions. So I think those positions have been hit pretty good. Look, we'll go back and check the board and see exactly where, you know, everybody is. I think at the end of every night, beginning of every day, you're kind of reorganizing a little bit. Because there's a lot that goes on throughout the course of the draft. So, without getting into all the specifics,
is there still a lot of depth there?
Well, look, there's still some players that are available, but yeah, I think there's been 15 or 16 of them that, you know, come off the board, and typically there's 20 to 25 that get drafted. So I would say that, you know, you're kind of getting down the list a little bit.
Dennis, was there an attempt made by y'all at all yesterday to move up for a quarterback?
No.
So was that position ever on the table, or?
It was never discussed that we would move up for a quarterback. You know, I think anytime, if there's a quarterback that you think has a chance to be, you know, your future quarterback, then I think it's always something that you're going to consider. But I'd heard that report. It was brought to my attention last night, but there was zero effort on our part to move up for a quarterback. There's always discussions about trading up or trading back, but none of those were in an attempt to get a quarterback.
It's got to be a position where, I'm sure you go into every draft trying to be open-minded to any position, but is that the one position where it's kind of an outlier from everything else, just with the, I guess, the weight of it, you know, because it's so important. And
well, yeah,
that question even makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get the question. You know, look, it's the most important position on the field. Obviously, we feel good about the quarterbacks that we have. And yet, I think you're always looking to make sure you're, you know, secure in your future. And so, but that was not a position that we targeted and said, hey, we got to move up and go try to get one of these guys. And it really wasn't a position that we were really considering at 14.
Was there any effort tonight to get back into the third round? Any kind of serious effort to get into the third round?
Not really. You know, with what we have available to us right now, you know, kind of without, you know, getting into future picks and those types of things, you know, it was just probably too expensive to try to get in there and do anything.
Was not trading away a future pick important to you?
Yeah, I think ultimately we weren't totally against it. But I don't think that was really something that we were really looking forward to doing. But if there was a player that was there that, you know, was that we really liked, that was valuable, we would have considered it.
But there was
not for what we would have had to give up to go get it.
I'm not sure how many like Nick Saban defensive backs you've coached in your time, but is there a benefit to taking a guy who comes from, you know, that coach?
Well, here's what I know that he's been coached really hard.
Yeah.
And I know that he's been around a lot of good football. And a lot of smart football. And so, look, you value those things. And look, I think when you're able to get a guy from a program like Alabama and a big school that's played really good football at a high level against high competition, you know, I think that adds some weight to, you know, what you're getting.
Who you should mention? Conversations at the combine went really well, and he came away from it feeling like the interest was legitimate. Was that kind of echoed by Yale's side as well?
Yeah. So we had some good conversations at the combine, and had a, you know, kind of a off the, not really the interview, but we just happened to see him in the hallway as we were walking back, you know, to the hotel, and got a chance to have a, you know, 5 or 10 minute conversation, casual conversation with him. And, you know, I thought that was, you know, it was good conversation. And I think, you know, I know myself, Mickey, I believe Jeff and Michael Parrington, maybe Kai, maybe we were all probably there together. And I think we all kind of came away with a positive view of the player.
Was there anything specific about that conversation that kind of to that?
No, I just think it was just a casual, you know, conversation.
How does that? We know that wasn't an accident. We spend the whole time in Indianapolis trying to accidentally.
I was just trying to make it to the hotel.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say next time.
Yeah.
How does that work, though? Do you have to, like, introduce yourselves? Like, does he know who you guys are?
We actually had met with him, I think, earlier that night. Oh. So we kind of knew who. He knew who we were, and we knew who he was.
Regardless of this pick, where do things stand with Marshawn Lattimore? Have you guys talked? I mean, does he seem on board?
No, I haven't talked to him in a while. Look, I know he had a conversation with Matt Ray the other day about some – he's not in the building now, but he had a conversation with Matt Ray about sending him some workout stuff, and – that's never been something that you really worried too much about him. He's usually come back in pretty good shape, and look, quite honestly, last year in the training camp, I thought he had one of his better training camps. So, look, Marshawn's part of our team. He's been a valuable part of our team, and you know, we're looking forward to him being a part of our team.
Has anyone else not made it to the building yet for the start of the offseason
program? Yeah, there's a handful of guys that haven't been here for various reasons. Some personal choice, some, family reasons, things of that nature. So, look, it's not 100%, but it's pretty damn good turnout, and we've had a good first couple of weeks of the off-season program, and we start with, you know, kind of some football meetings and things of that nature starting next week. So we'll start ramping the football part of it up.
Is Kool-Aid's foot injury anything that could sign him through like the spring?
Yeah, I don't anticipate him being able to do a whole lot this spring. I think he's probably we're probably looking more towards, you know, sometime in June that he's really going to get cleared, and I think, you know, we'll be a little cautious with that this spring. Nothing that's going to cause any concern, you know, going into training camp.
People are going to read into the you haven't talked to Marshawn in a while. Is that abnormal to maybe go through part of the offseason without contacting a player?
No, not I wouldn't say. I mean, Marshawn's one that we haven't had a lot of contact with anyway. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't say that this is anything, you know, abnormal. You know, he's I'm sure back in Cleveland getting himself ready to go. He'll come back in shape, and then he'll be ready to go when we're ready to start up.
So this would be it's typical with this player and kind of how he interacts.
There's nothing that's been out of the abnormal.
Have you guys made a decision on Peyton Turner's fifth-year option yet?
I don't think we've come to a conclusion on that yet. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dennis.
It's head coach Dennis Allen here on WWL Saints Radio. We're going to take a break, make a break, come back, discuss it a little bit right here on the TrainSouth.com. WWL Draft Fest coverage right here on Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Be right back. Welcome back into our WWL Draft Fest coverage. Day two wrapping up things. Guys, we just heard from head coach Dennis Allen talking about the draft pick today of Kool-Aid McKinstry. And obviously saying you can never have enough corners in the NFL.
Yeah, I'd have bet a lot of money he'd have said that. But, again, he is correct that, you know, you lost Isaac, and that opens up a hole there. And so you got to be looking around because they're going to find the weak link. And you say, oh, we pretty good there. Hey, have an injury.
Right.
And then what happens?
Get thin pretty quick.
Well, he did mention he's going to be training him in the slot
and outside. And that's one of the things that we talked about, you know, that he had the ability to be able to do.
Yeah.
You know, you start him outside and then you're allowing him to be able to play in the slot inside as well. But I think the key thing that if we listen to what he said, he won't be available, you know, for probably the first month as far as for OTAs are concerned because he is recovering from that foot injury. Now, he'll be able to get mental reps and different things of that nature. But that's why I think it makes it a lot harder. And, you know, he kind of answered it. He didn't answer it. That's why I think it makes it a lot harder to trade Lattimore. And I know you probably couldn't do it until June. I think you could do it after June 1st.
After June 1st, but, man.
I mean, but that makes it a lot tougher. If I'm not getting better immediately, right. I'm not trading it for picks. Right. I mean, I needed those picks to help me this year.
Right.
I don't need those picks to help me next year, and it's no knock on DA or no knock on Mickey or even Jeff. What if you're not here next year?
Next year's not a given.
What if you're not here?
My thing is, are you better with him or without him?
Amen, you're
better with him.
You're better with him. And so just to make that last point, if you're not here in Atlanta – is it guaranteed that the GM will be there, Terry Fontenot, next year?
Not at all.
Now, the head coach is probably, because he's a new head coach, year one.
And Arthur hired him.
And
Arthur Blank hired him.
Arthur hired him, but I'm just saying, if they don't go out there and put up better numbers, and if they have another losing record and they're picking in the top 10, you think Terry's going to stay there?
No
way. This was his fourth draft, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Do you think he's going to stay there? And the only way that Penix actually plays because of the contract that Kirk Cousins has, it's because Kirk Cousins is hurt. You're not cutting him.
Right.
He's guaranteed $100 million whether he plays or he's not on the roster. Well, think about it.
Another thing D.A. talked about, guys, that there was no trade, no attempt to trade up to get a quarterback.
Come on, we all knew that where that came
big
from.
Big old smokescreen. Yeah, you talk about Terry Fontenot, right?
It came from Terry.
Hey,
he's telling different people that.
I'm going to leak this to this reporter. You put this out, and I'll give you a scoop. I'll give you a scoop later on.
I thought you were leaning over to give us a scoop.
Nah, that is a scoop.
That is. You got it, Mike.
That is a scoop, and that's how it went down.
But he also said that there was not a whole lot of impetus or movement to get into the third round tonight, which is kind of what we thought. But you weren't really sure.
The price. How much it costs.
Right.
They call.
Yeah.
And there was probably a little minor king ransom, and it's like, I like X player.
I ain't liking that much.
I don't like him that much.
Right. And that's because there was a ton of teams, as we saw, who had multiple picks in the third round.
Yeah, they called.
Right.
They probably knew the price before going in. And then I'm gonna text him. You know, it's one of those texts where it's or you call, hey, anything changed? You know, it's has the price of bread gone down? Nope.
The price of bread
is still high. Okay.
The other thing too is we talked about the price to move up in round two. I think if you're trying to get early in round four, that price is going to be high too.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because now you reset your board now for a second time, and there are some players there that you really like, but if you don't have one of those picks, okay, yeah, I'll make that deal with you, but this is what it's going to cost you.
It's just
for me.
Right. Obviously.
I'm probably trying to get mid fourth round.
Yeah, that I could understand.
Mid if I get mid fourth round, I mean, because if you get in that top seven, top eight range, depending on the team.
Right.
I mean, because a team like, let's just say Philadelphia, or a team like Arizona that has picked numerous players.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest, man. How many playmakers do you still think that you need at that range that are actually going to make the team? Because here's the other thing. If you're picking that many players, how many of those players are actually going to make the team?
Right.
Think about it. How many of those players are actually going to make the team? I've got 9 picks. Am I carrying 9 rookies that I signed? And what about my rookie free agents? One or two of them you expect. So now I've got 11 rookies.
That get me fired if I'm going to sell them.
Well, think about it. I totally agree that the middle of the fourth round is you know, kind of where they're pointing. Because if not, you go from 41 to 150, 109 picks in between. It is what it is, but that's just a gap.
Well, such is life.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's
the way I look at it.
It is what it is. That's why
such
I think
is life.
You got to feel like they're going to try to get, like you say, into that middle of the fourth round somewhere.
Guys, we're going to take a break, come back, wrap things up, give our final thoughts, and also what could the Saints be looking for in the final day of the draft? We'll come back with more of the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest right after this here on WWL. Oh, yeah, stretching those legs out, getting ready to close things out. Tomorrow they will be at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard starting at 11 a.m. Right now, guys, the Saints have 5 more picks left, 3 in the 5th, a 6th and a 7th rounder. What are the team's biggest remaining needs and any particular players still out there that you think could be of interest to this black and gold squad?
I want a safety, and I want a guy that can play center guard.
Versatile lineman.
I want a center guard, and I want a safety.
For me, you need a running back. I'm not 100% sold that you have enough overall depth yet.
Right.
Running back-wise. And then the other position, and I don't want it to be a true project, would be a tight end. I think if you could find a guy that
the
can
right
actually
one.
Yeah, the right tight end. If it's got to be a project, then I would probably prefer go get some type of defensive tackle and or offensive line, you know, particularly interior.
Yeah, Jared Wiley from, you know, Charlie and I talked about it. I think he's a really good player. He's still out there.
Wins
Jared Wiley
right
from TC. He started at Texas, though. He was a Texas guy and then transferred because he felt they gave the job to someone else. And so he goes there. He's a former quarterback in high school. I actually saw him as a quarterback in high school. And then they moved him over to tight end. But he can catch the football, and he's got some length.
Was a beautiful night here, guys, on the patio here at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Like I said, tomorrow we'll be at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard starting 11 a.m. I want to thank all the great folks here, the staff, the food.
It was
everything
awesome,
was yeah. Awesome. The service, fantastic.
Yes, indeed.
Well, for Steve Geller, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, and Mike Dettelier, also Luke.
And Luke. Luke.
Fantastic job as our engineer.
Luke.
Who's been wiped out doing all remotes all day from Jazz Fest to Hooters.
And Leah. Well, thank Leah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Leah. Thank Leah. She's awesome over here.
Leah, thank you.
She took real good care of us, so we thank you.
You bet.
She says, come see her, guys. So
Leah's really shy.
Say hi to Leah.
Yeah, she's the shy one.
Yeah.
Thanks again, everyone, and talk to you tomorrow for day 3 of WWL's Draft Fest. Have a good night, everyone, and hoo-dah.
Go Saints.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.